Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. This morning I just have had this, what I believe is a Holy Spirit-led uneasiness, and that's not a bad thing, that's a good thing, and that uneasiness is I don't want to get ahead of God. And if, I don't know, I just have been feeling all morning, like if there's something that someone wants to give God praise for, if you're struggling with something and you need prayer and you just want to stand up and say, I just need my church family to come alongside of me and to pray with me. I don't want to get in a hurry and get ahead of the Holy Spirit wanting to minister to somebody today. And it's not my church, it's His. So if there's anyone that just has something on your heart, and well, there you go, Jan. Bible tells us that in this world that we're going to sorrow, we're going to have difficulties, we're going to go through grief, but it also tells us that we don't sorrow as those who have no hope. It's a different kind of sorrow than the world experiences. Jen, we're going to continue to pray with you and stand with you, but let's continue to lift her and her siblings up and her family during this time of loss. Anyone else? Is just anything on your heart that you just want to give God praise, or you, again, you maybe just need us to come alongside of you in prayer. I don't want to rush through this. I don't want to drag something on that the Holy Spirit's not doing. But if you've got something that you just want to speak out in front of this congregation, now's the time. Yep, Miss Irene. Amen. Thank you, Irene. Well, this past week I've been praying about just this theme of the road of life, this road that we're all on. And very often we are on roads that appear to be different. And it's the reality that they are different. We may think that they're the same in many ways, and I guess they could be similar, but we all are on an individual road. And there's a misnomer that is often talked about in religious circles that there's only one way to Jesus. That's not true. There are many ways to Jesus. There's only one way to God. I want you to think about that. We all that have come into a relationship with Christ have come from many different backgrounds, many different circumstances, and our road to Jesus is all, they're all different. But you cannot get to God but through Christ. How you get to Jesus is going to look totally different than how I got to Jesus. But He is the spiritual funnel. He is the filter through which we get to our Heavenly Father. And that road that we like to call life is bumpy. It's filled with detours and potholes and unexpected left turns. There's a statement that we've all heard many times. The road to life is paved with good... I'm sorry, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. In other words, if we rephrase that, we could say, I intended to do this, I intended to do that, I intended to do these 1,500 different things, and very often we don't do what we intend to do, and when we end up doing what we don't intend to do, we end up in a place where we don't intend to be. Does that make sense? So I'm going to give a quote, and I want us to think about this. Intentions alone will cause us to all arrive at unintended destinations. And so the theme for today's message is attention determines direction, direction determines destination. I want you to think about that. Attention determines direction, and direction determines destination. Have you ever been completely convinced of the direction you were supposed to take in life, and then someone or something grabbed your attention? I'm going to be repeating some things because I want us to think and really get down, not just have a mental understanding. John Wesley talked, 250 years ago, talked about mental ascent, where we can have kind of a mental or a brain level of understanding and say, oh, yeah, I understand. But God wants us to have this deep revelation, this deep understanding of His heart for us and His plan for us and His determinations for us as well. So I'm going to be repeating some things, and I want you to dig in, and you may come to me this week and say, Doug, I'm not sure I'm fully on the same page with you about this. A lot of what we're going to be talking about is what I believe is an understanding that God wants us to have when we leave here today. Things that grab our attention will often unintentionally change our life direction. Things that grab our attention may cause us to end up at an unintended destination. So I want to repeat, intention determines direction, direction determines destination. The key to that statement is in recognizing the things that grab or capture our attention as opposed to the things to which we give or pay our attention. Can you hear the difference? There's a difference between what grabs or captures our attention than there is in the things to which we give or pay our attention. If we go in a specific direction long enough, we can know in advance exactly where we're going to end up, but the things that grab or capture our attention will serve to distract us and cause detours on our spiritual journey. We all, and I would encourage you to think about this, think maybe it's recently, maybe it's years ago, I want you to think about things in your life that grabbed your attention. You were going in a specific direction, you had a plan, you had a purpose, and then this thing caught a hold of you. And it caused you to deviate from the line that you were walking. In my personal experience, the things that have grabbed my attention often did so by accident. And on the other hand, things to which we give or pay our attention, those things are which we typically focus on intentionally. Now, if we're not careful, there are things that we give our attention to, even though they will be intentional, they still could be the wrong things. There are things that could grab our attention that we didn't plan on grabbing our attention, that very often are bad, but they could be God's way of saying, here I am over here, remember me? And He catches your eye. He catches you in your spirit. He grabs hold of your heart, and that thing that grabbed your attention could be from the enemy, it could be from God. God wants us to take those two potential negatives and make them both positive and say, okay, God, if You are grabbing my attention, I want to turn around and now pay attention to those things that you have used to grab me. I want it to now not be accidental. I want it to be intentional. But the devil very often is the one who uses our senses. You may be walking down the street and something catches your eye, and before you even know what happened, something sinful grabbed your attention. How many of you can ever say, yeah, I've experienced that in life? That thing that, oh man, I wasn't expecting to see that. Now I'm engaged. I wasn't expecting to think about that or to hear that thing, but now it's grabbed me. And now I am intentionally paying attention to what previously grabbed my attention. The older I get, the more I realize that there are some things to which I must pay more attention. I want to give you an example of my personal life of something that grabbed my attention as opposed to something to which Robbie and I made a determination to pay our attention. There's this place on the East Coast in Virginia. There was a timeshare that was just everybody on the East Coast knew about this timeshare. And it was built on what was formerly an Indian it was just outside of an Indian reservation there. Here we have Nooksack and Lummi. Out there we had Massanutten Indians. And there was a place called the Massanutten Timeshare. It was gorgeous. It was a ski resort. They had a water park. They had all kinds of amazing things there. Well, my brother got one of those invitation cards, and he said, I don't want to go. Doug, do you want to go? So Robbie and I thought, man, 2 free days? We got to sit through an hour-long timeshare presentation thing. It's worth it to it. So we went wanting to just get away for a little while. So we go to Massanutten, and while we're there, this place grabbed our attention. But the problem was this place that grabbed our attention was counter to what the Lord had laid on our heart to pay attention. It was what God had asked us to pay attention to was different than what the enemy was wanting to use to grab our attention and distract us and get off track from the things that God had laid on our hearts. So Massanutten Timeshare Resort grabbed our attention, but several months prior to going, the Lord grabbed our attention and said, I want you and Robbie to get out of debt. I want you to get out from under these vehicle payments and all these different stupid monthly bills that you're paying, that you could use that money more wisely to invest in my kingdom. And so we had a decision to make. Do we give in to what has grabbed our attention, or are we going to stay focused on the things to which the Lord had asked us to pay attention? Whether your attention has been grabbed by something or whether it's been paid to something, either way, the direction of your life is going to be impacted. There is nothing as important as paying attention to our relationship with Christ. In Hebrews 2, verses 1 through 4, in the NIV, it says, we must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For since the message spoken through angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by the gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. I want to go back to verse 1. We must pay the most careful attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. There was a river not too far from where I grew up that different times of the year, the current would run at different rates of speed. And so Robbie and I decided to go out one day. I got bought this battery-operated trolling motor on a kind of a local version of Craigslist. And I thought, man, this would be cool. I had this little aluminum boat, and we had this trolling motor and a battery. You know, it'd push you about 2 miles an hour. What I didn't realize was, we were in a river during a time of the year that current was much more swift than we had remembered or realized that it was. And so we got out on this river, and we're just enjoying ourselves, just kind of putting along on this with this little teeny trolling motor, you know, barely caused a wake. It was so slow. And we weren't paying attention, but before long we looked around and we had drifted way downriver. It was like, man, we better turn around. I'm not sure how powerful this motor is. And so we turned it around, and what took us like 10 minutes going with the current with this little trolling motor, it took us 2.5 hours to get back to where we launched that boat off the bank. 2.5 hours of running that motor and me rowing. It's like, what? I felt like I was on an aqua treadmill. It's like, we're not even moving here. We must pay the most careful attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. Drifting is the easiest thing in the world to do. You don't have to do anything, and if you do absolutely nothing, you'll drift. And before you realize what's happened, you've drifted farther away from Christ than you ever realized you had. And if you are like me, you experience those seasons in life where you drift a little bit, and then a little bit more, and then a little bit more, and a little bit more, and a few weeks, a few months down the road, without you ever realizing, you're like, wait a minute, I'm not hearing God's still small voice like I used to. If your husband or your wife ever whispers to you and you're standing next to them, you can hear them. But if you begin to move away, if you begin to slip away, and all of a sudden you want to start watching TV when your spouse wants to talk to you, I just want to turn it off. Before long, you've moved away, and you've moved away either symbolically or literally to the point where you can't hear that loving whisper any longer. And we do that with Jesus. When we don't pay attention, we begin to drift away. And good things that have grabbed our attention end up becoming bad things because they grabbed our attention in a way without us realizing it. They began to pull us away. And we don't pray like we used to. We don't listen like we used to. We don't read Scripture like we used to. We don't read it with a desire to be more like Jesus. We read it now with a desire to point out reasons why everybody else is not where they should be in their life. This passage in Hebrews is clearly speaking to the necessity of intentionally pursuing Christ. The scripture is one of many verses that reveals the importance of attention and direction and destination. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, God through Moses gives the children of Israel a warning as they're about to enter into the promised land. He tells them that they are going to be tempted to do things the way that the surrounding nations are doing them. He tells them to be very careful to avoid these temptations and distractions. So this is what it says in Deuteronomy 7, verses 12 and 13. If you pay attention to these laws and are careful to follow them, then the Lord your God will keep his covenant of love with you, as he swore to your ancestors. He will love you and bless you and increase your numbers. He will bless the fruit of your womb and the crops of your land and your grain, new wine and olive oil, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks, and the land he swore to your ancestors to give you. But verse 1 says, I'm sorry, the first verse we read in verse 12, if you pay attention to these laws and are careful to follow them, then the Lord your God will keep his covenant of love with you. Man, we have a responsibility to keep the laws that God has laid inside of us. And I'm not talking about this Old Testament mindset of, I've got this list, and as long as I do this list, I'm good. The New Testament, Jesus came and he fulfilled the law. He didn't abolish them. He fulfilled the law, and he's saying, now I am the fullness of everything that you've studied in generations past. And if you know me, and if you know my heart, and if you use this opportunity that I'm giving you to draw close to me, then you won't forget. It's hard to forget something or someone that's standing right in front of you. It's hard to forget something or someone that's standing right in front of you. But when we become distracted and things grab our attention and steal us away from the things that matter, now it becomes easy to forget. It becomes easy to lay aside those really, really important things in life. The word pay in verse 12 comes from the Hebrew word shama, and it means to listen, to diligently discern, and to obey. That's what that word pay means. If we pay attention to these laws, what Moses was saying here through the direction of the Holy Spirit is, if we listen to these laws, if we diligently discern these laws, and if we obey these laws, and if we are careful to do those things and to follow them, then the Lord your God will keep his covenant of love with you. Our attention is grabbed by accident. Our attention is paid on purpose. God will still use those things. Now, I'm talking about accident. They are grabbed by accident within us. God doesn't do anything by accident. He's very intentional. He's very purposeful about everything that he does. And so is the enemy. Satan is very, very intentional about what he does. He came to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He wants to pull us away from our relationship with Christ. He desperately wants to do those things. But we pay attention on purpose. There's a tendency for all of us to stop paying attention to those things that were at one time important. That's when the drifting begins. But my question today is, why does the drifting begin? Typically, the spiritual drifting process begins immediately after a temptation, and temptation always falls under one of three categories. If you guys were ever wondering, this verse here gives a real clear overview of how the enemy uses the things around us to grab our attention. 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." That's pretty straightforward. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and that word lust literally means desire. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the desires of the that come from the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of this world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. There is no sin that any of us can commit that does not fall under one of those three categories: lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Every single sin we can commit, every single sin that ever has been committed, ever will be committed, falls under one of those three categories. And I believe God would want us to understand those things and examine ourselves, like we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the communion passage this morning. God wants us to examine ourselves and says, and to ask ourselves, are my eyes causing my attention to be grabbed? Robbie and I and our kids love going to the beach. And I'm not saying anybody else has to do this, but I will not wear sunglasses at the beach. Anybody like to know why? I will not wear sunglasses at the beach. Come on, some of you know why. I don't want my eyes to wander and my wife not be able to see where my eyes are. I will squint all day long if I have to, because there are way too many things at the beach that will grab a man's attention. It might not be a physical thing. It might not be a physical temptation. It might be a financial temptation. It might be a recreational temptation. We got people here that love to hunt and to fish and to do things like that. Nothing wrong with those things. Nothing. But what is it that's grabbing us to the point? What is it that grabbed our eyes that ended up becoming an intentional decision later down the road that took us further and further away from our relationship with Christ? Listen to what it says in Psalm 119, verse 37. "Keep me from looking at worthless things. Let me live by your word." Proverbs 4:25 goes on, "Keep your eyes focused on what is right, and look straight ahead to what is good." If you stare long enough at one thing, good or bad, your life will begin moving in that direction. How many have ever driven a car? You're driving down the road, and you see something to the left. See my hand? You look to the left, and before long, your car is going to the left. Has that ever happened? Happens, yeah. Happens to my wife all the time. She's not here today. No. Happens to me all the time. I have to be careful. She, Doug, watch where you're going. How many of you ever see those rabbit trails? Sorry, I can't help myself. How many of you ever seen those blow-up things that they use as attention grabbers on the highway? We tease Robbie. That's Rob. Every time something grabs my attention and I get off to the side of the road, Rob, Doug. So now we're driving down the highway. The kids will say, "There's Mom," you know. "There's Mom over there." We tend to move in the direction we're looking. What are you looking at? What am I looking at? See, the principle that we're talking about this morning is the things that grab our attention are the things that will cause us to end up in a ditch. God gives us guardrails. God gives us guardrails on the highway of life. And if anybody has ever hit a guardrail, or if you know of someone that's hit a guardrail, it will do intense damage to your vehicle, but it'll save your life. The guardrails that He gives us are prayer. The guardrails that He gives us are time in His Word. The guardrails that He gives us are fasting and fellowship and community, coming into accountability-based relationships where if you're messing up, you got somebody in your life that loves you so much, and they know, you know that they know that there's such an intense love that they can speak honest words of encouragement and warning. I've got people in my life, and have had people in my life for many years now, that I call on a regular basis and I ask them, "Do you see or sense anything in your spirit about where I am right now that is cause for concern?" Do you know how much easier it is for somebody to speak encouragement into your life if you're willing to ask them? How many of you here today have a friend, or you have a group of friends, maybe several friends that you know that are maybe in a bad place and they're heading in a bad direction, and you really want to speak to them, but you're afraid if you do, it'll ruin your relationship? Anybody? I think there's probably more here than maybe are raising your hand right now. It's difficult. It's difficult to know, man, I'm seeing this guy swerving off the road, and they're getting ready to hit that guardrail, and I don't want them to hit that guardrail because it's going to do damage, and it's going to cost. There's going to be a price to repair that damage. Sometimes God is saying, "I want you to wait on me, and I want you to allow me to determine for you when that time is that I want you to do that, but we've got to be open to it." Two questions I want to ask before we conclude today. Who or what has grabbed your attention? Who or what has grabbed your attention? There are many good things out there that potentially end up becoming bad things. I'm going to say very, very quickly, I'll give a personal example. Like I mentioned earlier, how many like to hunt? How many like to fish? How many like to go out on a boat? Fun things, good things. I like to golf. I like to golf. It's the dumbest sport in the world. It'll drive you crazy. I started playing about 25 years ago, and I have OCD potential. I get obsessed with things, and so I have to really put those guardrails up in my life to protect myself. But I was playing fast pitch softball, and a friend of mine, I'm still angry at him, he brought a driver and 5 golf balls out to a softball tournament one time. And he let everybody hit one. And he said, "Doug, why don't you try?" And he wanted to embarrass me. I'd never picked up a golf club in my life. I didn't know anything about it. But I'd watched some golf on TV, and in my mind I'm thinking, I have no idea what I'm doing, but I want to look like I know what I'm doing. And so in my mind I tried to copy the swing that I saw on, on TV, and I thought, man, if I just do it like they do it, maybe I can do it well. I hit that ball a mile straight. I mean, I was like, oh man, this sport's easy. So I thought, I got to try it. So I went out and I tried it, and it wasn't easy. And then I tried it again, and it was harder the second time than it was the first time, but I had made up my mind, I'm not coming back out here again. I am not going to do this again. This is the dumbest sport. It's not even a sport. Okay, I'm giving myself all these reasons why I'm not going to do it. And the 18th tee box, I'm ticked off. I'm hitting balls in the water. I'm hitting them in the weeds, and when I do hit it, it dribbles a few feet, and then I'm thinking, this is just stupid. I'm a better athlete than this. This is just humiliating me. The last tee box was the same thing that happened that day at that softball tournament. I hit that ball straight down the middle of the fairway. I couldn't even see it. It went so far. I was like, okay, something, a switch just flipped. And I went and I got custom clubs made. I joined a call. I'm not kidding you. I joined the golf club, and I started getting up at 5:30 in the morning every morning. I'd play 18 holes, go work all day, and go back in the evening, even during the wintertime, and I'd hit balls for an hour and a half out of the sand trap because I had to learn how to play this game. And I did that for about a month and a half, and one morning the alarm went off at 5:30, and I smacked it, and I heard that still, small voice. My feet hit the floor, and I heard that still, small voice say, "When's the last time you got up at 5:30 to spend time with me?" And I got up and I got my shoes on. I went right to the golf, I went right to the country club, and I withdrew my membership and went years and never played again. Because it became a dangerous thing for me. It grabbed my attention and it stole my focus, and it took me away from the relationship that I wanted with Jesus. Now, how many of you here, and don't raise your hand, how many here think you can figure God out? Okay, thank you for nothing. Yeah, Dave, you lying dog. Anyway, I say that in love, Dave. We can't figure God out. Who can know the mind of God, the Bible says, right? So, years go by. We're into this missions thing, and I get this opportunity to play golf almost for free at this country club, and I hear God speak to me and says, "I want you to go play golf." So God would never do that. He told you he wanted you to walk away from. I'm telling you, I knew I was supposed to walk away from it because it had grabbed my attention. I was not focused on him. And little did I know, he wanted me to play golf because I still had this pride issue in my life. And he's like, "Boy, I'm going to humble you." And I would go out and I played golf for a season of several months, probably three times a week. And I played worse than I had ever played in my life. It was not, you asked Robbie about this. I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. This is humiliating. It's frustrating. It's not fun. And all of a sudden, I began to hear him speak into my spirit. I want you to do this, and you're going to continue to do this till you come to the place where doing poorly doesn't even matter to you anymore. I want you to come to the place where you will hear my voice and you will so submit to me that no matter whether it's good, whether it's bad, you will thank me for who I am and what I'm doing in your life. And so, folks, when something grabs your attention, pay attention to what has grabbed your attention. Pay attention to what grabs your attention and seek the Lord and say, "Father, is this from you or is this a distraction that's going to lead me away from you?" Spend time on your knees. Spend time with your nose in this book. Spend time and say, "God, I want to know your heart. I want to know what you're asking of me." Second question, what do we need to begin paying our attention? The obvious answers are prayer, Bible study, our spouses, our children, serving others, etc. Deep down inside, we know that these things are the things to which we should be paying our attention, but have things of lesser importance grabbed our attention and stolen us away from the things to which we should have been paying our attention. One final encouragement. When we leave here today, everything in our lives will be exactly the way that they were when we came in. If we choose to pay the same amount of attention to the things that matter most, will our relationship with Christ become better and closer, or worse and more separated? I want to ask that question again. If we choose to pay the same amount of attention to the things that matter most to us in our lives, will our relationship with Christ become closer, or will we become more distant? The things to which we pay our temporal attention will determine our eternal destination. I don't know what those things are in your life. You don't know what those things are in my life. Maybe it's too much TV. Maybe TV is something that God wants to use because it'll engage you with your wife and your kids, or with your husband and your kids, to sit down every now and then and just spend time together, just being in the same room. There's nothing I love more than my wife saying, "Hey, Doug, come over and just hang out with me." Sometimes we talk, sometimes we just hang out together. That's what Jesus is asking of us. He's saying, "Come and hang out with me." And the cool part about who God is, sometimes He wants us to hang out with Him on a fishing boat. Sometimes He wants us to hang out with Him. Mark sent me a picture of he and the family and some friends hanging out at, what is it, Nooksack River, Mark? Brandy tells me about their property. Say, "I wish I could spend more time up at that property." Jesus is there at that property. Jesus is here. Are we willing to lay aside our own agenda, our own opinions, our own self-determinations of what we think ought to be important? Or are we responding to the things that the Holy Spirit is making clear to us are important to Him? Let's bow our heads if we would. Father, I thank You that You're always faithful. You're always good. God, You love us so much. God, as we prayed together this morning, I want this church to be a place that is just a place of safety and refuge, a place of peace and rest, that not only we as a church family would feel those things, but that people that don't have a church family at all could come and know that there's a place here for them. Most importantly, Lord, we want there to be a place here for You. Have Your way in this place. Have Your way in our hearts, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.